Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I'm going to be talking to you about prayer, and I know that prayer is important to most of you. And the title of this talk is Prayer is Dangerous. It can change you. Let me share with you a scripture. This comes from the Gospel of Mark, and it's chapter 1. In the morning, a great while before day, Jesus rose. He went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Peter and those who were with him pursued him. And they found him, and they said to him, "Everybody's searching for you." And Jesus said to them, "Let's go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for this is why I came." And they went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I really like this scripture because it talks about how Jesus prayed, and he prayed early in the morning. And I always tell people that if you can seize the morning, you can seize the day. But notice what happened to Jesus. As he prayed, when he finished praying, he said, "We're going to go out and preach in all the synagogues, and we're going to proclaim the good news." You see, in prayer, that's where he gleaned wisdom. That's where he got the strength of God. That's where he got this determination from God. That's where he got direction. See, prayer changed Jesus. Even Jesus had to change. And prayer was the place that he changed. If you remember, he went to a mountaintop one time to pray. And he was transfigured as he was praying. That's what it tells us in the Gospel of Luke. His face changed. He glowed with the glory of God. And it was all because of prayer. Prayer changed Jesus. And I think about my own life, how prayer has changed me. And I always say that prayer is dangerous because it can change you. So watch out when you pray. It's not just something that you do. It's something that can really change you. I think about my own life when I was 19 years old, a young man, teenager, simply praying to God, searching for God in my life. And I had a glorious experience that changed me. It led me to a deep conversion. A deep life change. And it all happened because of prayer. Then, long after that experience, I discerned a call through prayer. As I prayed, I sensed that God was calling me to become a priest and proclaim the gospel. And it all happened in prayer. That's what novitiate's about. That's what discernment is about. You spend time in prayer, and actually what happens is you sense God's voice deep within you, and you begin to change. And as I look at my life, ever since my conversion and ever since my call, daily, I have to go before God, certainly early in the morning. And as I go before God in prayer, that's when I get this new strength. That's when I get determination. That's when I get creativity. That's when I get passion, just like Jesus. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, and the scripture says that he was heard because of his reverence and his tears. He was heard in his prayers because he came to God. Jesus received this determination and this creativity and this passion. And you see, prayer is the fuel of greatness. It's the fuel of creativity. It's the fuel of dreams and visions. So I'm going to invite you to spend time in prayer every day, especially in the morning. You got to, as I said, you got to seize the morning, then you can seize the day. And prayer will change you. Now remember what I said, prayer is dangerous. It's not just something that you do because it's the right thing to do or it's the religious thing to do. It's dangerous because it'll change you. And I know because it's changing me and it has changed me. So prayer is very, very vitally important. It's the lifeblood of us as a Christian. Jesus knew its importance. That's why he gets up early in the morning, even before daybreak, goes off to a lonely place. People are pursuing him. He says, "I need my time to pray." And that's where he was changed, transfigured. That's where he grew, and that's where we're going to grow too. Well, I have a theme song, and I want to tell you about it. It's a song that I was watching a movie years ago, back 1972, a movie came out called The Poseidon Adventure. If you saw the movie, it was about this ship, this cruise ship filled with people, just simply going across the ocean. And as they're going across the ocean, all of a sudden out of nowhere, this big tidal wave comes. It hits the ship and the ship flipped and it went upside down. And now all of a sudden, up is down and down is up. And isn't that the way life is sometimes? Up is down and down is up. And the whole theme of the movie was it was the adventure, the Poseidon adventure. It was the adventure of trying to get from the bottom of the ship to the top of the ship, which is now the bottom, and then they had to drill through the hull. So here's this group of people. They're upside down. They want to survive. And so they're trying to get to the top of the ship because the ship is going down. Well, they come up to a door, and they'd open the door, and they'd look, and all of a sudden fire comes out of that door. They'd shut that door. They'd run to another door. They'd try to find their way up, and they'd open that door. Water would come gushing out. They'd close that door. They'd go to another door, and then they found a secret passageway to get up. So all during the movie, this song was playing in the background, and it was called, and this is my theme song, "There's Got to Be a Morning After." And the words are these: "There's got to be a morning after, if we can hold on through the night. Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside the storm. It's not too late, not while we're living. There's got to be a morning after." Well, eventually, they ended up getting to the hull. They were banging on the hull. There was a helicopter on the hull of the ship. After all these adventures, the fire, the water, the danger, some of the people got killed. Many of the people on ship got killed. But these people survived. They got to the hull. They cut through the hull, and they were survived. You see, there was a morning after for them. There was a new day. They survived. They made it through all the trials. And when I think about prayer, in many ways, that's what prayer is. You see, we're on a journey. We're on an expedition. All of us are on an adventure. And it's an adventure not just of survival, but of growth, of becoming, of realizing our potential. And for some of you, possibly you may be having a relationship problem right now. If you're struggling in a marriage, you know what it means to have your ship flipped. Or maybe you're going through a financial problem right now. Or maybe you're suffering physically, and that's a horrible thing to have to go through, arthritis, or cancer, or multiple sclerosis, or whatever it is. And you feel like your ship is flipped. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is that time in the midst of the ship being turned upside down when we face the obstacles of life. It gives us the courage and the bravery and the strength to face those doors when we open them and the fire starts coming out, to be able not to run and to give up and to die. Prayer is that ability to go forward, to keep moving through the obstacles, the trials, the difficulties, the hardships, and to make it with God's help. In fact, the scriptures tell us in Romans 8 that because of Jesus, because of our faith, because of prayer, that we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. We're not just conquerors. We're not just victors. We're more than, in other words, we have the victory even now, even though there's hardships and trials and difficulties, and every person in the Bible had them. Jesus had trials and difficulties. You look at the cross, but He didn't run. Remember His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, how He contemplated the cross and what was about to happen to Him. And remember, an angel came to Him as He prayed, and He was strengthened. And He got up from that prayer, and He faced His trials. He faced the hardships that He had to deal with, and He was victorious because of His prayer. And it's the same way in our life. You know, our ship flips. There's all kinds of different things going on in our life, and it's prayer that changes us and gives us new power, new strength, new grace. Now, you don't always feel that, but as you come to prayer, at least in my life, there's an immediate consolation. Just simply being able to go before God, trusting that God hears your prayers. I remember in my call to the priesthood, you know, it wasn't written on a blackboard, "Cedric, you're called to the priesthood." As I went to prayer, there's this new strength, this new grace, this refreshment that comes through prayer. And I'm going to invite you to pray. And you will find out in your difficulties, in your trials, in your hardships, There's got to be a morning after. You see, I think prayer is the most hopeful activity we can ever participate in. We're hoping, we're believing, we're trusting that not only does God hear us, but that he's working in our life. And that's something that you got to believe deep within, that it may not seem like it, it may not look like it, it may not feel like it, but God is working in your life. If you're surrendering yourself to him, if you're spending time in prayer, if you're giving yourself to him, you must believe God is working in your life. And even though the ship may have flipped, he's going to bring you through. He's going to bring you, he's going to keep you, and he's going to bring you into victory. So that's my theme song. It's called There's Got to Be a Morning After. And think about it. All of us are going to die. We believe in resurrection. Oftentimes I reflect upon what it's going to be like to be resurrected in heaven in the new Easter to come. There's got to be a morning after. And that's what prayer is all about. It's going to get you through the hard times. Not only get you through, it's going to get you through with victory. And are you going through a trial right now? Then I'm inviting you to pray. Pray when you're sick. Pray when you're having relationship problems. Pray when you have financial problems, and you will see God will bring you into victory. I'm recording this right now at our retreat center, Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston, Texas. We are a mecca for the 12-step program. Those of you who know anything about the 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, in fact, at this very moment as I'm taping this, there are 80 people over at our retreat center, Overeaters Anonymous group meeting for the whole weekend. And it's amazing, in the 12-step program, step 11, and that's what they're talking about this morning, step 11 is the step about prayer. In order to come into recovery, you want to talk about a ship that has flipped. You realize that you have an addiction to some type of a substance, and that's when you're really going through a trial or a tribulation, because it's not just your circumstances outside of you, it's what's happening inside of you. Talk about a flipped ship. Well, anyway, step 11 talks about how prayer will bring you into recovery, and then prayer will bring you through and help you to face your issues. See, it's crucial, and now I want to tell you that when we talk about prayer, I'm not just talking about prayer methods. I'm talking about prayer is the means to something greater. Prayer is the opening door to something more. And when I talk about something more and something greater, of course, I'm talking about God. See, prayer is a means. It's not an end in itself. It's the means to God. This is the way that we get to God in our life right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, right at the moment, that we can, as they put it in the 12-step program, conscious contact with God. I like that. I think about a mother and a little baby being born, and there's an umbilical cord. That umbilical cord connects the baby to its mother, provides nutrients, provides moisture. It's that conscious contact with God. And no matter what your past has been, or no matter who you are, or maybe you're an addicted, or maybe you haven't been going to church, you can have conscious contact with God right now, right where you are, simply by prayer. That's so wonderful. You don't have to be the Pope. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a religious. Everybody's on equal ground here. We can all come before God. Well, anyway, step 11 talks about conscious contact with God. And you know, there's this beautiful prayer that they have in the 12-step program, maybe you've heard about it, by Reinhold Niebuhr. And it's, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's exactly what prayer brings. It brings courage, it brings acceptance, it brings wisdom, it brings change in a person's heart. And I think one of the hardest things to do, you want to talk about trials and tribulations, one of the hardest things to do, not only does prayer bring you into recovery, it gives you the courage to face your issues. Maybe you've been abandoned when you were younger, or you've been emotionally or physically abused when you were younger. Maybe you've gone through some type of a hardship from your parents and you feel rejected and you have a root of rejection. And these wounds, these emotional wounds within you, need to be faced. The only way to do it is as you pray with God's help, He will gently bring you to face your issues, get to the roots of your issues, and realize why you have an addiction in the first place. And then, as you come into recovery, you hear the stories of others. You're able to face your own issues with God's help. And that's just what we're talking about. Prayer is God's help. With God, you can do it. You can face your issues, come into recovery, move through the addiction, and come to a higher ground, come into victory. So it's important, as I'm saying, prayer is dangerous. And why is it dangerous? Because you will change. It'll change you. It'll help you to move through your trials. It'll bring you greater wisdom and grace and strength. It'll help you to face your issues deep within. And again, prayer isn't an end in itself. It's a means to something else, and of course, someone else. It's our connection with God. Everybody watching this program right now, you can do it. You don't have to be a theologian, as I said. You don't have to be the Pope. You don't have to be a priest. You just simply pray, just as you are. Well, notice when it was when Jesus prayed. I like that. It's early in the morning. And I always tell people, you know, if you seize the morning, you can seize the day. But if you let go of the morning, the day is gone. We're doing this taping here at Holy Name Retreat Center bright and early in the day. I don't like to do it in the afternoon. We don't do the filming in the evening. We do it in the morning. Why? Because I'm fresh in the morning. I sometimes go visit my parents, my mom now in Florida, and I drive there. It's a 1,000-mile drive. It's a long way to drive to Florida from Houston. And when I leave on a drive like that, I don't leave at 7 in the morning or even 8 in the morning. I leave at 5:30 in the morning. Number one, I want to beat rush hour traffic out of Houston. But I find that if I leave early, if I start early, there's just something about seizing the morning, and then you can seize the day. I get all these miles behind me, and I can go a long way in one day. And it's all because of the morning. And have you noticed that the morning is like a new beginning? There's a fresh new start in the morning. You know, no matter how hard yesterday has been, and the trials and the tribulations and maybe the hardships and what you've gone through yesterday, you go to bed, you go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, and things are different. That's the way God has designed it. He gave us the day, and then there's the night period, and then there's a brand new day. And it's a new morning. It's a new day. It's time for renewal and beginning again. And so really, I believe that in the morning is a time that you can leave things behind, have a fresh new start, and when you seize the morning, you can seize the day. Of course, I pray in the morning. I try not to let very much go by before praying, and you know, the first thing I do is when I get out of bed is I thank God for the gift of the day. I don't know if you ever heard of this African-American hymn. It's a song that they have, and the title of it is, "Thank You, Jesus, for Just Getting Me Up." And that's a beautiful prayer. Thank you, Lord, for just getting me up. Well, I thank God for getting up, and then I just spend a little time trying to get quiet. Now, I pray in community in the morning. I pray in this very chapel, the Liturgy of the Hours. We pray the Mass. But it's very important when you pray to spend some alone time. Notice what Jesus did. He had all these people surrounding him. Everybody was after him. They're trying to hunt him down, you know, because he's a healer. He's a teacher. They all want to hear from him. Well, notice what he did. He went off by himself. Don't be afraid of being by yourself, by being alone. Everybody, you need to spend time in quiet. He went off by himself and he communed with the Father. What was he doing? He was making conscious and really unconscious contact with God. It's that umbilical cord. Jesus was gaining wisdom and those nutrients and the strength and the determination in the dreams. Because notice, right after he prayed, he said, "Let's go to the other cities. We're going to preach the gospel there too." In other words, he got vision. He got dreams. He got guidance from God through his prayer. And it happened early, early, early in the morning. Early in the morning, Moses went up to the mountaintop and received the Ten Commandments. Early in the morning, Jacob had his dream and his vision at Bethel. Early in the morning, all throughout the Bible, people are touched by God. And I want to tell you, spend time early in the morning. Usually that's when it's quiet. Speaking of quiet, that's what I try to do. Before I begin my individual prayer, before I begin my communal prayer, I try to get quiet. Now, if you've read any of my books or heard any of my teachings, I'm an advocate of something called centering prayer or contemplative prayer. And this is when you get still, as the psalm says, be still and know that I am God. This is when you just get quiet and allow God to enfold you and embrace you and try to get still. You'll notice when you try to do that, you're going to get distracted very easily. So I'm not telling you to spend a half an hour in centering prayer. If you can do that, great. But I just want you to get still for 30 seconds, just for about a minute, just kind of get quiet. That's a good place to begin. Just try to get quiet. I went on a retreat 2 months ago, and the place that I love to go is Big Sur, California. There's what's called a Camaldolese. They're an offshoot of the Benedictines, a Camaldolese monastery. And it's up about 1,400 feet overlooking the Pacific Ocean right off Route 1 at Big Sur. So I remember I was there about 2 months ago, and I'm taking a little walk. It was actually in the afternoon. And I'm looking down at the Pacific Ocean down there, and I could see way out in the distance, about a mile out, there were these humpback whales. They look like porpoises jumping up and down and splashing and everything. And I could see them out there. I said, wow, look at that. Then all of a sudden, as I'm looking, I saw the whales were spouting. If you've ever seen this, you know, they exhale and the water goes spouting up. And I could see it way off in the distance. I said, those whales are spouting. All of a sudden I couldn't believe it. I heard it. I heard, I'd see the spout, and then about 2 seconds later, because it took a little while for it to travel, I'd hear, and I thought to myself, this is a beautiful moment. I can actually hear these whales exhaling. And I remember my dad used to work. He was a carpenter. He used to work really hard. He'd build buildings. He'd work all day long. I used to work with him at times as a teenager. And we'd get home, and he'd always sit down by the kitchen table. He'd take his shoes off, and he'd sit back, and he'd go, whew. He was just taking a moment to rest, that Sabbath stillness. Even in the midst of all the trials and the work and the tribulations and the activities of our day, it's always good just to take a deep breath and just take a rest. Even in play, I play golf, as you know, and I remember one time, actually many times, I had these great opportunities to make a birdie. A birdie is below a par. It's a great score on a hole. Say it's a par four, a birdie is a three. And they're hard to come by. And I had these great opportunities, 10-footers for birdies. Usually you can make those putts. And for some reason, when I was making the putts, they were just burning the edge. Or I was just missing them. And they weren't quite going in. And I was getting really frustrated and saying, why can't I make these birdie putts? I got these great opportunities, and they're not going in. And my friend told me, Cedric, you know, you're doing everything right, but just relax a little bit. Why don't you take a deep breath, let it out, and then see what happens. So the next time I had a chance for a birdie, it's about an 8-foot putt. I go, I should make this. You know, this is what a putt I can make. I remember what he said, and I went, lined up over the putt, hit the putt, and it went right in the hole. Now, I've tried this after, and it doesn't always work, but a lot of times it does work. And, you know, when you take a deep breath and you let it out, your pulse slows down. Your blood pressure lowers, and you calm down a little bit. I'm going to invite you to do that right now. Everybody with me, just take a deep breath. Then let it out. There's something just so calming about that. When you go to prayer, that's what I want you to do. That's a moment of Sabbath. That's a moment of rest. That's a moment of refreshment.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321 321- www.frcedric.org/donate/474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.